Hello and welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thanks a lot, Mark, and thanks for checking out this podcast at HoustonTexans.com. I'm Drew Doherty. With the end of minicamp and OTAs, we caught up with Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans, and discussed what he thinks of the team's future in 2010.
Hey there, Texans fans. It's Drew Doherty. It's Mark Vandermeer. He's the voice of the Houston Texans, of course, and he's been the voice since 2002. Mark, we thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Minicamp and OTAs are finished. Training camp approaches. You've been with the team since 2002. You've seen a lot of football here. What's the difference this time now versus maybe a year ago at this time, hype-wise, expectation-wise with the fans, versus, say, 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, I think 4 years ago, obviously, you were beginning the Kubiak era, so there was a lot of change going on. But we all know in the last couple of years, last year and the year before, there were high hopes that this team would make the playoffs. Unable to get it done those 2 years, going 8-8, obviously, in the 07 and 08 campaigns, last year with the 9-7 campaign. But having been so close, Drew, the last day of the season, walking out of Reliant Stadium here with a chance to make the playoffs, so tantalizing, I think that's given people more of a taste than ever of what it's going to be like when they finally do make it, and we hope this is the year for sure.
So many subplots as we approach the 2010 season. One of the ones that I find the most interesting is perhaps the emergence of Jacoby Jones and what he might be able to do. A, what do you think he might be able to do? And B, it's all just talk right now, right?
Well, I think with Jacoby Jones, remember the Tennessee game week two, he exploded in that game. And as the season went on, you saw Schaub looking for him more and more. Obviously, he has so many great weapons to go to. But Jacoby's become not the number one option, but certainly a focal point, an area where Matt Schaub feels like he can get big plays, and Schaub knows he's going to go up and get it, make the big acrobatic catches. So that's another added weapon for them. Remember, losing Owen Daniels was huge because he was right there with Andre Johnson in catches when he got hurt going into the eighth game of the season in that eighth game at Buffalo. And then it took guys like Jacoby and the other wide receivers. David Anderson became a major third down threat. Took them to step up so they could keep the ball rolling offensively. But now we have some added weaponry in the backfield running the football like they were in the last two games. They were able to do that. If they can do that throughout the entire season, run the ball 100 plus yards a game, my gosh, the playmaking ability really increases.
And I was going to say, is that a chicken or the egg type of deal? If guys like Jacoby Jones can explode and Andre Johnson keeps doing his thing, Kevin Walter, etc., does that open things up for the run game, or is it the run game making it easier on them? I mean, it's kind of a tough nut to crack.
It is one of those chicken egg arguments, because obviously if you're able to get first down control 4 yards or more running the ball, and then second down you can run it again, you know, we're not talking 3 yards in a cloud of dust here, we're talking Matt Schaub runs play action and it opens up great things downfield. But if you're hitting on a few passes and then bam, draw play or a running play and the defense is back on its heels, you can pop some big gains on the ground that way. So I'm eager to see how it all develops with a healthier Steve Slayton, obviously, Arian Foster after running for 215 in the last two games, and now Ben Tate drafted in the second round. Big, fast. Let's see how these guys can go.
It's a good problem for Larry Kirksey, you know, Dennison, Kubiak to have, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because now, you know, Gary always talks about running the football. I mean, they could be throwing for 500 yards a game. It's not going to be right for him. He knows he needs a ground game to do what he wants to do. Ball control, cut down on turnovers, that sort of thing. So let's see how these guys develop. I don't know how it's all going to work with Foster, Tate, and Slayton, but I'm eager to see it.
Bernard Pollard on the other side of the ball, fantastic pickup last season. Is his importance maybe even magnified just a bit more playing behind that linebacking core without Brian Cushing in there?
Well, I think you need big playmakers, okay? So Pollard is that. Remember the last game of the season against Tom Brady, picked him off twice. The attitude he brings to the field, that is a huge contribution to this team. Healthier Eugene Wilson, remember he missed the last part of the season, hurt. Well, that'll really help. I mean, this is the best safety tandem they've ever had, and Dominique Barber was no slouch at the position also when he had to step in and start. And now you look at the other factors in the defensive backfield, Kareem Jackson stepping right in. I mean, he looks like he belongs, right?
Yeah.
When we saw him in OTAs, look good there. And Glover Quinn starting at corner. Yeah, they're all going to have to play well because you are missing Cushing for the first four games of the year. But I don't worry. I mean, obviously you'd love to have Cushing.
Sure.
But D'Amico Ryan, Xavier Deeby, You have Zach Dials. I think they're going to do a fine job. But obviously you are missing a big playmaker in Cushing.
Yeah, and then you mentioned some of those linebackers, and you throw in a Danny Clark. Yeah. That's a pretty nice luxury to get at such a juncture, is it not?
Sure, you have Danny Clark, who played with the Giants, played here before. I mean, Danny Clark's been all over the place, and he's almost a coach on the field kind of guy. I don't know if he's going to start or not. It might be a DB getting the nod at that strong side spot because they want Dials to stay on the weak side in all likelihood. But having Clark around, if he starts, I don't think we're going to be crying about it. I think he's a capable player as a linebacker. And then the four guys up front. You know, this is going to be very interesting. You look at the contribution they got out of Connor Barwin, leading all rookie defensive ends in sacks with 4.5. And Antonio Smith, who's the best free agent signing in the Rick Smith, Gary Kubiak era, who came in, played well at defensive end, and rushing from the tackle spot with the 4+ sacks. It's going to be interesting to see what they get out of that front four unit this year, because they're adding Earl Mitchell and, you know, about a Moby kind of slimming down a little bit, and he hopes to really explode this year. So I want to see how the whole front seven works together.
Yeah, and how might Mario play if he's fully healthy and he wasn't not banged up like last year. Well, you've got a month or so to go. Is this the hardest time of the year for you? Is this the easiest time of the year for you? Because, you know, you've got to start calling games pretty soon.
I love this time of year. It's the calm before the storm. I mean, it's excruciating in some ways to wait, the wait for training camp and the whole thing to get started. But, you know, I'm one of the people who, I enjoy preseason in a way because everybody's in first place. There's no pressure, really, but you can feel the heat, well, literally and figuratively, of the season coming. And I like to see how all the young guys develop. You know, I like to see that back end of the team, the threes and the fours and some of the twos, obviously, and see who's going to make this team, because you never know what sixth or seventh round draft choice is going to end up making the team. At one point, David Anderson, you mentioned 4 years ago, showed up here as a seventh round draft choice, and then they were in a scramble to make sure that he would remain on the roster at a contract situation, and thank goodness he's part of it. So who knows about a Doran Dickerson? Who knows about a Trendon Holiday? I love watching these guys work in training camp and through these preseason games, so we're looking forward to it.
And then kind of a weird question to the play-by-play voice. Do you practice for that in this time, or is it just kind of all old hat?
It's never old hat. Right. But, you know, the preseason games for me as a play-by-play announcer, I prepare twice as much because you have so many third and fourth string guys who play in the fourth quarter. And it's not just us. It's the opponent, you know? I mean, I know our guys fairly well by the time we get out there, even the guys real deep on the depth chart. But when you're dealing with, you know, the Arizona Cardinals and the guys struggling to make their team in the fourth quarter, you know, you want to do a thorough job. I mean, I can't stop calling the action.
Right.
So you got to practice, memorize all those guys. But I love it all, Drew. It's a labor of love.
It is. We're not digging ditches. We're having a good time covering a football
Absolutely.
Team. Well, Mark, let's do this again during training camp.
Okay.
And we look forward to seeing you then.
All right, Drew.
All right.